Hello, wrestling fans. You are listening to Wrestling Opinion as Never Before Heard. You are listening to Tap Out Podcast. How's everyone out there doing today? My name is Tim Ronka. I'm going to be your host. And for those of you that are wondering, what the heck is this Tap Out Podcast? Well, basically, I am bringing back the old Dragon Talk Podcast, but I thought I'd change up the name a little bit and change kind of the content and the look of the show, mostly because Dragon Talk's kind of an ambiguous name, and it goes along more with my column series than it actually does with wrestling. So I found by using the name Tap Out, you can actually find this easier on search engines and stuff like that. So to commemorate this very special edition and this very first show of Tap Out Podcast, we are going to be doing a WrestleMania preview, and as everyone out there knows, WrestleMania is usually the biggest event of WWE year, that is. And I have a little bit of help today, and listeners of this show in the past, back in November, will know who this guy is. His name is James Argento. He's one of the most knowledgeable wrestling fans you'll ever meet. He's a good friend of mine, and he's actually on right now. James, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I'm pumped for Mania. I always am.
We all are.
Yeah. I was actually on a radio show a few days ago, The Wrestling Crossfire, and the host there asked why I was so excited for WrestleMania. And I think one of the reasons is, I think a lot of it has to do with the people we watch it with. It's been the same people the last 2 years, and in some cases, it's like the only time of the year we see those people. And do you think that contributes at all to the aura of WrestleMania?
I think WrestleMania is just like the Super Bowl or the World Series or the Stanley Cup, in that if you have a big group of people with you, it makes so much more fun. Oh, and the group of people we listen to it with and watch it with are just amazing. And we're going to have an even bigger group this time because I'm inviting some of my law school friends, some of my friends throughout the community, some attorney friends, and other people are inviting their friends too. So yeah, it should be a blast for our party.
Yeah, definitely. A party is definitely the best way to watch it, especially when it costs $50, you know. Takes a lot less of a dent out of your wallet when you're paying only like $5 or $7 instead of $50. So that helps as well too. So, all right, well, what we're going to do here today is we're basically going to run down each match, and I'm sure we'll go off on like a billion tangents. And first match up that, well, according to the WWE website, is the United States Championship match, and that is Chris Benoit versus MVP. And James, what are your thoughts on this match?
Well, it's funny seeing Chris Benoit again in the U.S. title match, just like last year's Mania. They don't have much to do with Chris Benoit. It's not necessarily a bad thing that they're not using Chris Benoit to his fullest potential, because they really do have some great, you know, feuds on top. However, as a wrestling purist, you know, the ROH fan in me, the pure wrestling fan in me, kind of dies a little seeing Benoit not being used like he could have been used, like, few years ago when he was headlining WrestleMania along with Eddie Guerrero. But they just don't have that in the cards for him right now. Mm-hmm. And he'll get a good match out of MVP. MVP's learning, he's trying, and I see them having a good match. I don't know if they'll put the title on MVP yet, but it should be a good match.
Wait, you know what I find interesting about Chris Benoit is that, you know, starting in 2004, he was in the main event, of course, and had tremendous build-up, won the world title. Then the next year, at WrestleMania 21, he was booked in a match to get a title shot for the very same title he won the year before. Then, the next year, which was, of course, last year, WrestleMania 22, he's booked in a match for a mid-card title against a former main eventer. And now he's, you know, he's in the same feud this year for, you know, we're in the same title situation. He's fighting someone a lot less credible than JBL. It's like, every year he's steadily declined since WrestleMania 20. And it's kind of sad, but it is definitely an intriguing match because MVP does have a very good character. While he does really stink it up in the ring, his character's pretty good, and Benoit can make a broom look good. So that, of course, will contribute a lot to the match.
So, it should be a good match. It should be an okay match. I see no problem with it. It's just your typical Mania undercard match that doesn't have that much build-up to it, and that's SmackDown for you. So.
Yeah, there you go. So, as far as who I think is going to win that, I have to deal with Benoit. I really don't think they'll have MVP win the title yet. But, I mean, it could go both ways. To be honest, I haven't really been following SmackDown as much as I used to. But from what I've seen of MVP, I don't really think he's necessarily ready for the United States title, and I really think it would do a lot better for Benoit to get a nice win this year since he hasn't had a win since WrestleMania 20. So.
Well, I'll tell you something about Chris Benoit and Stampede Wrestling. I was just watching a promo by Archie the Stomper Goldie back from the 70s and early 80s in Canadian and Calgary wrestling that the Hearts used to put on. And you realize that with guys like Bad News Brown and Archie Goldie and later on Chris Benoit, you realize just how good that whole scene was. And you're just not getting that anymore. So, mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll be able to talk about some of the Hall of Fame inductees too, because I have a lot to say about all of those guys. So.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get around to that. It'll probably flow into the conversation. Yeah, but I definitely agree with your thoughts on that. But now, however, the next match, and this is really an interesting match, I think, and this one is Kane versus the Great Khali, and this match is weird for me. Really, all I have to say about it is I see Kane is probably going to lose. That's really all I have to say. What do you think? How do you think the match is going to be?
I just read the Observer, and apparently Kane is hurting and wanting to take some time off for his knee.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what I find interesting about it is it's been rumored, though, I mean, for years, it's almost over the past year, even a little bit longer, how Kane's been hurting, Kane wants out. He's been retiring, you know, almost as long as Booker T's apparently been retiring, and it just hasn't happened yet. And so I find that kind of interesting. I mean, I'm sure, yeah, Khali will win, and then Kane will be able to take some time off. But
I just love watching the Great Khali. He is just so fun to watch.
That's a really great point.
Cut his promos.
Wait, yeah, like I remember absolutely hating him when he first debuted. I don't maybe because it was a SmackDown or whatever. I just didn't think he fit in. But like, he's been, you know, at the Royal Rumble, he was over. I mean, he had a big face reaction. He kicked the crap out of everyone in that match. And yeah, it's just funny just seeing him come out and just do squashes and destroy people whenever he wants. Like, that's how he should be used. He shouldn't be put in 10-minute matches with The Undertaker, because that, of course, really exposed how bad he was. I think that's part of the reason why he's improved, or seems to improve, at least.
Yeah, so I wonder how long this match will be with Kane and Unbanned.
Exactly. That's what I'm worried about, too. I mean, if Kane's going to lose, you know, it wouldn't do good for Kane to have him lose under 5 minutes, but, you know, on the flip side, it'd probably be better for us if Kane loses under 5 minutes, because I don't think any of us want to sit there and watch a 15-minute wrestling classic with these two.
Tim, this is the thing about Kane. If you ever watch Kane when he comes out with The Undertaker, the fans on SmackDown view him as only one of the real superstars on SmackDown, along with The Undertaker and Batista and a few others. The fact is, Kane is a superstar, even though he may not be the best wrestler. He has really stood the test of time. He's been around since 95 and one gimmick to the other, and the Kane character itself has been around since 97, since the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view back in October of 97, the Bad Blood pay-per-view.
Right, right.
And so, you know, part of me hates to see Kane lose in a squash, just like I hated to see Kane lose to Gene Snitsky, who now they're pushing in ECW, but that's how it goes. And you're right on your guesses for the pay-per-view, I believe, in regards to that match.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure Khali will get the win. It's just, it'll be interesting to see how the match actually plays out and how long it will be. So it'll be interesting, definitely. So then moving on, we have what seems to be the obligatory Playboy cover girl going up against the women's champion feud. And that, of course, is Melina versus Ashley. And I don't know if we're going to get quite as good a match as we got last year with Trish and Mickey James for obvious reasons. But I do have to say, Ashley has definitely improved. Just, you know, even in the small matches she's been on. I mean, while she's no Mickey James or Trish Stratus, she's definitely improved, and we could see a decent match out of here, but there's no way Ash is going to win. I'm pretty sure Melina's going to keep the belt. Although,
well,
apparently,
you know, they made it a lumberjill match, you know that.
Yeah, that's true. That is the wild card. So, I mean, well, that right there speaks volumes of how they know that these two can have a classic, so they got to have a little TNA on the outside. But apparently Melina's in the doghouse, and I even heard about a report saying, you know, if she doesn't have a good match, you know, there's the door. Have you heard anything about that, or?
just the typical rumors you always hear in regards to her behavior behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
They are really hardcore about that kind of stuff. The wrestlers always police their own locker room,
mm-hmm.
and they always get on people who don't fit in with the proper mode of that locker room, and she has not been fitting in. She also has a tendency not to listen to agents. I guess that's the story being told also. It's just one of those things where she doesn't have the attitude they want, and they could show her the door whenever they feel like it. You know, whatever is in the realm of her contract, they can get rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I don't mind her as a diva so much. Ashley, to me, even though she's been in for a little while, for the past year or two, she just strikes me as so not ready to be a diva. Like, when I think of women's wrestlers, I think of Fabulous Moolah or Mae Young, or even in my childhood with Rockin' Robin and Alundra Blaze, Medusa. I think of women's wrestlers who could actually wrestle and put on entertaining and fun matches. I don't see that from the divas. The only thing I see from the divas are matches that make me cringe, that I am literally afraid for their very safety.
Yeah, that's a really good point you bring up. And because you said that, I mean, just looking at it right off the bat, I mean, obviously Melina is the more trained wrestler. She has the history in OVW, and you know she's been with WWE longer. And because of that, I figured she was going to keep the title. But then, like as we were talking about the backstage heat she has, it might go to Ashley. I don't really know what they're going to do with that. But I think more than likely it's going to be Melina getting the win.
What do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to have a Joey Mercury running now?
Well, that's not happening now, apparently.
Yeah. Finish your thought and tell me what your thoughts on Joey Mercury also.
Well, in terms of him getting released, well, I don't know. I think he had a lot of potential, and you know he was supposed to. You know, of him and Nitro, he was always the better worker. The thing that separated those two was that Nitro had better charisma. And that was
I
why
thought
they.
Nitro was improving, though. I thought Nitro was seriously improving.
Oh, definitely. But you know, well, I definitely think he improved. But I think, but right off the bat, though, I always thought Mercury was the better worker of the two, and that's why they made such a good pair. Is because, you know, Mercury's weak point was charisma, and Nitro made up for that. And Nitro's weak point was wrestling, and Mercury made up for that. And apparently, Mercury was supposed to get the mega push that, well, not really the mega push, but the, you know, the somewhat push that Nitro got in 2006. But because of the drug problems. You know, of course, they had to take him off the show, and apparently that's why he was released as well, due to the drug problems. And
do we know if it's connected to the test that was done the day of SmackDown?
I haven't heard about that, and that's a really good question, because I was thinking the same thing.
We don't know that. You know, just for the fans listening out there, thanks to the Sports Illustrated article that came out, outing all these wrestlers as having taken steroids, like we didn't know it already.
Yeah.
You know, and even will admit they did. They just argue they did it with a prescription and other drugs that Vince McMahon and WWE management were under serious pressure to test. So they did a whole barrage of drug testing. Apparently, last Tuesday was it?
Yeah, it was the last SmackDown tapings. Yeah.
Yeah. So and we're speculating that may have been the connection to Joey Mercury's release. We don't know. It's not fair to speculate until we have all the details, but I'm sure that's what everybody's thinking, especially since he does have a packed history with these issues. We just wish him the best, you know? That's all we could do as fans. Pray for him and wish him the best.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll see him show up in TNA, since he likes to go after drug-addicted people.
Absolutely.
which is sad, but I don't want to get into that, but just that whole steroids controversy, and I've been debating this, and I debated this on another audio show, I debated this in forums and with people online, and what I find interesting about it, and I'm sure you picked up on this too, James, is how bad the reporting of it was. I mean, apparently they're using statistics from, you know, 2004. You know, they claimed Edge was on steroids, and, you know, he was on steroids then because of his neck injury. He was prescribed steroids because, you know, he obviously had a bad neck surgery.
Well, no, Edge was on HGH, actually.
Yeah.
Human growth hormone. I don't know if they give you human growth hormone for a bad neck as opposed to the cortisone steroids or whatever. But, no, there's a lot of issues. A lot of wrestlers are in bad shape. And as a result, that's the justification for putting them on steroids and other drugs. But the fact is, you had Edge cutting an interview on The Cutting Edge, the very first one, which he basically took that baseball player. there for tasks for being a part of an industry full of steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And here you go.
Yeah, exactly. What I found hilarious is apparently Shane Helms is on the guest.
Well, and that's what we try to get across to people. The reason why you look like a Lex Luger who did take steroids is because he also has good genetics. A Lou Ferrigno, even though he always claimed to be drug-free, to a certain extent, that is his genetics and ability to work out. But then you also have people like Shane Helms who do take steroids, I guess they have been exposed for taking steroids, and don't have as good a body, and that's because of their genetics. They could only work out so much. So people used to say when we were kids, you know, Rey Mysterio never took steroids, and you'd have people like Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez saying, wait a second, you don't know who exactly is taking steroids. The fact is, guys like them know that all these guys are taking steroids.
Right.
In fact, it's been estimated 95% of that locker room is taking one form of drugs or the other.
Mm-hmm.
The only pure drug-free athlete I know of in wrestling was Lance Storm. John Cena claims he doesn't take steroids, yet look at his body. I can't say he does or he doesn't, but look at his body. You be the judge. He probably has really good genetics. Was he getting the extra edge? I don't know. The only way we find out is when we have articles like this and when they release test results
right.
from their own testing policy. So the interesting question is, to tie back to Mania and take this tangent and put it back on to Mania, how does it impact WrestleMania, if it does at all?
Well, I mean, obviously, Joey Mercury being gone doesn't really affect at all. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really know how it affects it right out. But, you know, maybe in the long run it can have effects on people.
Do we have a chance if you take steroids at Mania? I bet we do, but it would be funny.
Yeah, I can see that. But then again, I don't, you know, but the thing about this whole article is that it really is, I mean, at least for wrestling fans, as far as they're concerned, we all knew this, you know, it's nothing new. And I think the only really notable thing about the article is that it has made mainstream news. And that really is the most notable thing about it. The fact, though, that it's really out of date and that they're using poor information doesn't help, but it's definitely interesting that it's made the spotlight of the mainstream. But I don't want to go on too much more about that.
Right, right. So let's get to the next thing.
It's all good, though. So the next match up here, we have, this might be one you might be interested in due to your liking of ECW, but this is the ECW Originals versus the New Breed. And let me just see who exactly is in this match. It's not slipping my mind right now. Here it is. All right, looks like it's the Sandman, Sabu, Tommy Dreamer, and RVD teaming up against Elijah Burke, Kevin Thorne, Marcus Corvan, and Matt Stryker. Thoughts on this match?
Thoughts on this match. Just a way to give 8 more guys a WrestleMania payday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the situation is with Rob Van Dam. I really don't know. I heard he was leaving.
Yeah.
But he's still around, and I guess he will be doing a lot of jobs. But then again, you know, they're probably dangling a lot of money in front of him to stay and be a job guy. And money talks. You know,
yeah.
As much as Van Dam's a competitor and loves wrestling, that's a lot of money that they offer him. So,
well, from what I've heard, his contract apparently goes up in the summer, and he's already given notice. Now, of course, I can't confirm that for obvious reasons, but that's from what I've heard from hearsay, is that he's put his notice in. That could be one reason why he's been sort of de-pushed as of late, because they know more than likely he'll be going to TNA if he does leave WWE. And I could almost guarantee that we'll see him in TNA by the end of the year.
Wasn't Sonya chanting for TNA at the ECW December to December pay-per-view?
Yeah, his own wife was chanting for him.
So I don't know. I assume that the ECW New Breeders go over all those guys. It will be funny seeing the Sandman at a WrestleMania.
Yeah, and it will be. And Sabu.
To a certain extent. I think that's going to be good for him to be there because he gets to induct his uncle the night before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
The original Sheik, who many of these fans listening to the show, well, probably the fans listening to this show, if we send him out to knowledgeable wrestling fans, or the Iron Sheik likes to say, intelligent wrestling fans.
Okay.
No relation to the original Sheik, though, although he claims they're cousins. But still, my point is that a lot of people don't know about the original Sheik, and the original Sheik is one of the most amazing figures ever to have graced pro wrestling. He was a promoter for a long time. He ran big time wrestling out of Detroit. He was the first one to do fire. He was the one who did the snake before anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing.
Yeah, so yeah, that's, I mean, that is good for Sabu that he has the opportunity to do that. But what I find interesting, you said the originals are going to win. And
I think the New Breed's going to win. I think the New Breed's
going to win. I mean,
New
Breed, excuse me, Yeah, I'm actually kind of going with the originals. And just reason being, I mean, I don't know, it just for the, I think this match really isn't there for a serious match. I think it's just there for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, I could just, maybe, I don't know, I'm kind of going both ways on this, but I think it'd be more fun to have the originals go over. I mean, there's nothing really special going on with the new guys, as far as I can tell. And as far as how they're being pushed, ECW will probably be gone this time next year, and these guys will just probably get lost in the shuffle on Raw or SmackDown, if not released, so.
I have a feeling Sabu and RVD are not long for the ECW world.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling Tommy Dreamer may be back to booking or be as a part of OVW or whatever he was doing with Nova.
Yeah.
Honestly, I hear Sabu's in rough shape, and I feel really bad whenever I watch him wrestle. Mm-hmm. I cheer for him like crazy, but then I feel really bad for him to hear how bad a shape he's in.
Yeah, it is kind of sad watching someone like him sometimes. Just knowing everything he's been through and how he looks right now.
I mean, falling asleep backstage, yeah. other things. You know, he was a part of the whole drug bust for Van Damme. Both of them got busted.
Right.
And the difference was Sabu, Terry Blunk, was much more contrite about the whole situation than RVD was. And I think that didn't help RVD's cause in the long run, his whole attitude. But
yeah.
That's RVD. He appeared on the cover of High Times magazine, so... There you go. and we don't know the results of this match, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, exactly. It is not going to matter because in the long run, no one's even going to remember it. Which that brings us to our next multi-man match, and wow, I can't believe they're doing this, but it is an 8-man Money in the Bank ladder match, and of course, the participants in this match are Randy Orton, Ken Kennedy, Finley, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, King Booker, CM Punk, and of course, Edge. And as I was talking about on another show, and as I said before, as far as who I want to win this match, I would love to see Jeff Hardy win. He's had a really great comeback. He's really done a lot of proving, or he's really proved himself, is what I meant to say, as of late this last year. He's really shown that he can really, when he gets his mind set on something, he can really come through. I'm comparing this, of course, with TNA run, which was miserable. But I'd really like to see him win, but I got a feeling most likely Ken Kennedy's going to win, just because I think they had plans for him in the long run. Now, what do you think?
I think Kennedy's going to win. I think the match is being made for Kennedy to win. I think that match is probably going to be the show stealer of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the Hardys in there, with Edge in there, who's hurt but is going to work hard because it's Mania, I think with Finley in there, being on the ground, even though he won't be doing the aerial stuff,
yeah.
I think it's going to be a real amazing match. Orton's going to have his working shoes on. Kennedy's going to be working hard. Expect the Hardys to be the one doing most of the crazy aerial stuff. It's a shame, though, when you think about the Hardys, because there you got two guys who really are over, but because of the forces of nature and the politics around World Wrestling Entertainment, they're never going to be pushed to the top.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you don't see a Jeff Hardy or a Matt Hardy win. Never mind Jeff's issues in the past, but the fact was Matt Hardy a couple years ago was one of the most over stars in WWE, but
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that they didn't want him to be over, they de-pushed him,
they're still de-pushing
him to this day.
Yeah, and it's amazing because what I find amazing about Matt Hardy is that even throughout, all this crap he's gone through in terms of being de-pushed and everything, he still gets some of the biggest pops. And I mean, and I'm not even talking like on SmackDown, they pipe in crowd noises, but for Matt Hardy, you can tell it's a real
case,
pop.
No, that, in his case, those are legitimate pops.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly.
People from out of the country who know nothing about WWE, who go to cover it for their magazines and newspapers, when they go to a wrestling show, they think Matt Hardy's the biggest superstar in professional wrestling.
Yeah, oh, well. Yeah, well, if you were a blind person listening to the reactions in the arena, you'd probably think that.
Matt Hardy's an amazing wrestler. He keeps it up. they're going to have a great match.
Yeah.
They're going to have an absolutely great match. I'm predicting Kennedy. I'm wondering for all the wrestlers who aren't in the eight-man Running the Bank, because they crammed two more guys in this year, what they're going to do with them. I guess they're going to do some type of battle royal with Flair and Carlito and all those guys.
Yeah, I'm assuming. And I find that really interesting. I mean, well, just kind of to relate to that, like, one problem I have with this match is that it's, first of all, that it's eight men, which, I don't know, it's going to be hard to keep the match together, because really the only ring general in there is Finley, and there's only so much work one person can do. Well, for lack of a better word. But there's only really so much Finley can do to keep the match together. I mean, Booker T can be good, but the rest of them, you know, are going to be, you know, out to be trying to get the spotlight, you know, doing the crazy spots,
Edge will be helping a lot, too, I bet, because Edge, with his feud with Cena, really showed me to be an MVP.
That's true.
In his own right.
So I shouldn't discount Edge
either. Be a big part of it.
But what I find interesting about it is the very fact that it's eight men shows that, like, you know, was it always going to be eight men, or did they really not have anything to do?
No, it was going to be six men, but they made the mistake of realizing that they wanted both Hardys in there, and they wanted a couple more guys in there, and it had to be more than six men to get those guys in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of sad, because it's like they didn't have anything else for these people to do, and on top of that, guys like Nitro, Carlito, and Flair aren't even on the card, and, you know, those are all for the most part, they had big years 2006. Flair not really, but, you know, he's always big. And then, of course, Carlito.
Flair's going to be the Hall of Fame person next year. He's going to be the big Hall of Fame inductee in Orlando, so.
Yeah, that's going
to
be awesome.
This may be his second to last WrestleMania, and it's a shame that they don't have him in an important match on this card.
No, it really is. And I was actually sitting there thinking, I just can't believe that he's not in a match. Maybe he'll have some kind of pre-show deal with Carlito or whatever, but.
I think if it's on the main show, I think it'll be announced, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that'd be cool, too.
With Carlito, just it'll be like all of them together. They scrapped the match that they were going to do with Flair and Carlito. I guess they're going to hold off on that to do later on.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have minded that. I actually was predicting that they were going to do that at WrestleMania, and I was actually surprised to see they weren't. So if they do hold off on it, I guess it could work still. That's the Money in the Bank ladder match. And let's see, after that, the angle everyone's talking about, Battle of the Billionaires. And of course, this is Bobby Lashley representing Donald Trump, going up against Umaga, who represents Vince McMahon, and the one and only Stone Cold Steve Austin is the guest referee. What I find interesting about this angle is it really hasn't been a bad one by any stretch, but it has definitely not generated the publicity or the mainstream publicity that I'm sure Vince McMahon was hoping for. And I talked about this on another show, you know, one reason for that is, of course, you have Umaga involved in the match, who, you know, you don't really see Umaga going on Jay Leno or the Tonight Show or any of those other shows, pumping WrestleMania, because he just looks like such a freak, even when he's not done up in makeup. And I think that's one of the reasons why it hasn't taken off as much. Plus, Donald Trump really isn't, I don't really know how well-liked he is in the mainstream, you know, entertainment world. But what's your thoughts on this Hall of Feud?
Well, is Umaga inducting the Wild Samoans the night before? I assume not. I think they're probably going to try to get The Rock or someone. I don't know if they're going to get to induct the Wild Samoans. When you said Umaga, I immediately thought, who are they going to put in the Hall of Fame? Who are they going to get to put them in the Hall of Fame? So.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But,
no, that was just one little side thought, you know?
Yeah.
But this is the main thought about the mainstream press. The problem is that no one cares about Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
They care about Donald Trump. You'll read about stuff about Donald Trump. Like, I picked up the National Enquirer or one of those magazines, The Star, and they actually had photos of Trump shoving Vince across the desk. But it's gotten to the mainstream press. It's generated some excitement, but not as much as it could have, because the fact is that Vince McMahon is just not that well-known and not a figure. The only people who know him are the NBC executives who probably, after this angle, want nothing to do with him.
Exactly.
Dick Ebersol and all those guys.
What's funny, sorry to interrupt, but, like, not only is he not well-known, but the people that do know him hate him. And, of course, you know, because he's right in the center of all the steroid controversy. Of course, he's done incredibly stupid things like the XFL. And he's just, in general, not been regarded as a really good person.
He bombed promoting a fight, the one movie he didn't know, whole Bard bomb. Although I think it actually was the number one movie for like 1 week, you know, in the United States.
When it came out, and that was it.
and also that he ran the old, what was it, the old arena before he bought the company from the Scholars. He ran that old Coliseum up north.
Mm-hmm.
So he's had a share of busts when it came to professional wrestling, so he's not as well known as someone else may have been. I wonder if they did have Hogan in this match, if it would have helped a lot more. But the whole idea of Vince even being in this match, shaving his head, because we all know Vince is going to get his head shaved, is because they didn't want Hogan at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
They were angry at Hogan for a lot of reasons, including the fact he's always complaining about the last time he was at Summer, or the two SummerSlams ago, how he didn't get a big enough payday. And they said, we're going to deny Hulk Hogan his biggest moment ever, reliving the 20th anniversary of the Slam,
mm-hmm.
of Andre the Giant. They were going to do Hogan versus Big Show, Hogan versus Kali, Hogan versus Shane with Kali in the corner, then Hogan in the slot that Lashley was in now. But they didn't want Hogan there. And Hogan, if you watch on Bubba or listen on Bubba the Love Sponge, he is complaining about it.
Yeah. No, he is. And what I find interesting about it is that just the mentality of WWE because of that. I mean, that just blatantly shows kind of the arrogance they have. I mean, honestly, I really think Hogan could have helped this match. And because they're the only... because they're the only legitimate company right now in wrestling, they can get away with something like... They can get away with saying, you know what, Hogan, screw you. We don't want you in this match. And that just speaks volumes about the mentality of it. And you know what? In the long run, they've actually hurt themselves because it didn't generate the publicity it did. Whereas Hogan would have been, like, a tremendous addition of charisma to the match, you have Bobby Lashley, just a black hole of charisma. And, like...
Well, I think this Mania is going to be the biggest Mania in terms of revenue ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably going to be the biggest pay-per-view in North America in terms of revenue for professional wrestling. Not as big as UFC, but it's going to be a huge, huge wrestling pay-per-view, in part because Vince McMahon is going to get his head shaved.
Uh-huh.
That's going to help. But the fact is that they could have gotten probably more people with Hogan being there, but the fact is that they're doing McMahon. He's going to get his head shaved. I hope no one out there thinks Donald Trump is getting his head shaved. That would be funny, though, if Donald Trump agreed to that and he did it. That's not happening, but that would be funny.
Yeah, it would be hilarious.
And you saw all those celebrities. None of them talked about Vince, but they were all talking about Trump getting his head shaved. Do you think Vinny Jones is going to interfere and try to mix it up with Austin?
Oh, I hope not.
Think Eugene's going to interfere?
What's that?
Think Eugene will interfere also?
That'd be funny. Good old Eugene.
No, the whole idea is Austin being the special guest referee, he'll be around. And that's the thing, too. Well, I guess we're never going to have Austin versus Hogan.
Yeah. Well, as far as I know, I mean, Austin doesn't want to do it. And it's been weird because I've read various things. Hogan apparently wants to do it, but then I've heard Austin wants to, but then I've also heard Austin wants no part in ever wrestling ever again.
Yeah, he wants no part of Hogan. He hates Hogan.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's funny because I bet you at the end of the day to have the match, Hogan would job to Austin, but the idea would be he would job in such a way and make himself out to be the even bigger babyface throughout the whole match.
Yeah.
And everyone leaving realizes that Hogan, even though Austin got the pin, is the bigger legend. Because
mm-hmm.
Hogan's smart in that way. And Austin, who's been smartened up over the years himself, he was a guy who was trained by Chris Adams and broke through the Dallas Sportatorium to that whole area. Here's a guy who knows the game, and he's not like Rocky, who gets suckered in at WrestleMania 18 and Hogan, where Hogan just pulls the wool over his eyes and just gets himself over on the Rock. Austin knows it, and Austin, I think a part of Austin is really enjoying the fact that he's denying the one big match Hogan always wanted. That's why they had to do Hogan versus Rock at WrestleMania 18, because Austin wanted no part of him.
Mm-hmm.
He'd rather take a match with Scott Hall than wrestle Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, which just speaks volumes. And that does show you how smart Austin is, and that is a good... He probably does like holding that against Hogan that he doesn't wrestle.
Austin has money, but at the same time, he may like holding against Hogan. I don't think it's smart, though. Honestly, even if Hogan gets himself over on you, you're still going to be a part of the biggest payday ever in professional wrestling.
That's
in
true.
North America. So, I don't know. I think he's letting his own hatred for Hogan blind him to how much money he'd be making, how many fans he'd be thrilling by doing it. You know, at the end of the day, it is just Hulk Hogan. He would just be like Shawn Michaels on the next show, who was totally unprofessional, but still went on TV and says, you know, he was beaten by the great Hulk Hogan. Right. And basically admitting to everyone it's all fake and predetermined anyway. Right.
He's like, yeah, I've dealt with enough ego these past few weeks, or he said something like that.
yeah.
But, you know, but one thing I've heard brought up a few times, I know this is getting a little bit off top, but that's okay, is, you know, if not Austin, then who is, like, the next opponent for Hogan? Because Hogan will come back. It's not a question
yeah,
of he's not
next
done.
Year's Mania. You better believe it. He'll be at next year's Mania, or he'll be headlining a few months from now.
Yeah. He'll be back, and as, you know, contrary to how everyone's creaming over the fact that, oh, Hogan's done with WWE, that's not true. It's never going to happen. But, you know, when he comes back, I mean, who's that next big angle? And it's just, it's hard to tell. It could be Umaga, you know. But, you know, as far as I know, he was totally against doing a match with Kali, and I'm sure he wouldn't want to do one.
He would have done a match with Kali if it meant getting you on that pay-per-view. He would have done it.
He probably would have, but he definitely did say he was against it. I heard that on that show.
I'm sure that's what he was saying, too. He says a lot about the Love Sponge, so.
Yeah. Good old Hogan.
Just like Kurt Angle does. But I don't know. I think Lash is going to be interesting to watch in that match, because actually, he's a big, tough guy, and I wonder how much power moves he gets in on Umaga. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how they actually shave Vince's head. Is Trump actually going to be the one with the Clippers, or is Lashley going to do it? Mm-hmm. Is Austin going to do it? That will be fun.
Yeah, I can see him all taking turns.
Trump, you know, all those little things you think of with that match.
Yeah. No, definitely. And it's definitely an intriguing match, and I'm sure it'll generate some kind of buzz the next day about what's going on.
Do you know Trump's history with WWE and WrestleMania?
What's that?
Do you know Trump's history with WWE and WrestleMania?
I don't know the exact, but I know he had something to do with hosting it 1 year, right?
Yeah, well, 2 years. He hosted WrestleMania 4 and 5.
That's
he was
right.
always a big wrestling fan being in New York. And they hosted WrestleMania 4 or 5, which crowd-wise were the absolute worst WrestleManias, because you had all these VIPs being comped and given wrestling tickets, and here they are at a pro wrestling show in their evening dresses and their suits, and they don't know what the heck's going on, and nobody's cheering, nobody's caring. Vince, I don't know if Vince ever took a swipe at him for that, but I think there are probably people internally who are glad never to have to appear at Trump Tower other than to do a press conference like they're doing on Wednesday with the Hype Up Mania. But also, Trump appeared at WrestleMania 7, I think, you know, in the crowd.
Right.
Because he's a wrestling fan, so they were able to do history with him. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely going to be an interesting confrontation. And, of course, albeit very predictable, it's going to be Lashley getting the win and Vince getting his head shaved. So, well, that leads us to our two main events, and first, I guess we should talk about will be the WWE Championship, which will be John Cena versus Shawn Michaels. Now, this match, I don't know, I think the build-up for this match has been great, you know, all things considered. I mean, especially considering how Triple H, you know, from what I like to believe, it's going to be Triple H versus John Cena, and him getting injured really threw their plans into a tizzy, but they really made up for it, and you really can't even tell that their plans kind of got screwed over, because they've done a really great job with the face-versus-face confrontation, giving them the tag team titles, kind of. And I loved how they went back and showed Shawn's history, because most of the time they want us to forget history, but they actually went back and showed us Shawn's history with his tag partners. Like, I thought that added a lot. You know, we saw John Cena's side of the story, when's Shawn going to turn on him, and he finally did, of course, on Monday. I think the build-up has been phenomenal. It's got people really excited for the match, and I think of the two main events, it'll probably be the better two. I can't decide who's going to win on it, though. I mean, what are your thoughts on the match?
I'll tell you something. As much as I don't want to think of any wrestler or any athlete getting hurt, Triple H tearing that quad again, as bad as maybe for him and his wife, especially with the newborn baby, that may have been the best thing to happen to that company in a while. Because now they had Shawn Michaels working a lot harder. They had now a match they never thought they would have. They have a feud. If they don't pull the gun too soon on the Orton Edge feud, if they can hold it off a little bit longer, they have an instant feud with Michaels and Triple H versus Orton and Edge when Hunter comes back.
Right.
They then could have Hunter turn on Shawn, and if Shawn wins the championship, I don't know if he will or not. That, I guess that'll be subject to our discussion, but that has just so many great opportunities where Shawn is champ or chasing the belt, with Cena being on top. Shawn is going to get a good match out of Cena. I have no doubt about that.
Oh, definitely.
Especially this being Mania. It's going to be a fun match. It's going to be the better of the two event main events, unless they can get a lot of weapons into the other match to make up for the lack of wrestling ability on the part of Batista. I don't blame The Undertaker. I blame Batista more. But Cena, you got to understand that Cena is not a good wrestler. And he people do see through him, but he does try really hard to come up with some really good moves. And I'm wondering what the ovation will be. I assume it'll be women and kids cheering for Cena.
Yeah.
And I assume all the men will be going
definitely.
For Michael.
Well, you know,
I don't know how bad the Detroit crowd will be, so...
I'm sure. Well, they'll be out there. But, you know, the thing with Cena is, you know, he really isn't... He's not a bad wrestler by any stretch of the imagination. He's a good, you know, he's a good to decent worker. And when he's with the right people, can really be pulled to the right match. I think a lot of the reasons why there's such a stigma against him is that most people are seeing his TV matches. And usually his TV matches are, like, you know, 6 to 7 minutes long, or they're tag matches where he really doesn't get to work, you know, he just does his little lame offense that everyone hates. But when he does pay-per-view matches, like his match with Umaga, you know, the Last Man Standing match, the match the month before, his matches with Edge and Jericho, when he has time, he's given, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes to go out there and have a great match with a good worker, he really comes through. And we're definitely going to see that. This might be his best match to date with Shawn Michaels, because Shawn Michaels has the ability to do that. And I don't see any reason why Shawn wouldn't do that for John Cena. And so it's definitely going to be, I think it's going to be a very exciting match. It's going to be one of Cena's best. I'm sure the crowd will be totally against Cena.
I think this match is going to be up second. I don't think it'll be up first. Or the last one, I should say. You know, the first main event, so to speak. I think this match will be the first main event shown, and the Undertaker match will be the last one.
I'm hoping to as well. I think, because last year, SmackDown kind of got screwed. You know, Mysterio won, and then Mysterio wasn't in the main event.
Well, look who was winning the belt, and look who was in the match.
Well, exactly. I mean, all political issues aside, it shouldn't have been a problem, but of course it always is. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be an exciting match. I really can't decide who's going to win, and my gut is telling me Cena will. Shawn Michaels winning would be awesome, but, you know...
I don't think they're going in that direction.
Exactly.
I don't think we know yet, though. Do they even know yet? That's what I'm wondering.
That's another thing. We haven't heard any rumors about that.
Well, Vince always changes his mind a million times today, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, I'd like to use that point as a segue to the next, which is going to be the final main event, which is, of course, Undertaker cashing in his Royal Rumble win against Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship. And I think, hands down, Undertaker's going to win this. I don't really see, I mean, WWE's done some stupid things, but I really can't see them justifying breaking Undertaker's streak, and to give it to, of all people, Batista, who is not much younger than Undertaker, doesn't seem to care even about his position in the company. He's just coasting off his angle he did with Triple H, and even that has lost a tremendous amount of steam, because that's now 2 years old. He's just not confident anymore, and he's not going to have the longevity that maybe like an Orton would have had Orton gotten to win. So I think hands down, Taker should win this match.
I think he will win, honestly.
Yeah.
Originally, Vince was all about ending the Undertaker streak. And we talked about that a few months ago, actually.
Right.
He was all about the streak being over. But then a funny thing happened on the way. Batista got exposed. He got exposed for someone who just isn't working as well as a world champion should be working.
Right.
And I thought it was funny how JR said, you know, the Undertaker has never held the world title before. You know, the whole separation of the belt.
Right.
Never mind, he won the WWE world title, like, 3 times.
Right.
But I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
But still, I think this will be a much better match than when he wrestled Sid or King Kong Bundy or Giant Gonzalez.
Or Mark Henry.
Or drugged out Jake the Snake Roberts. I guess he'd be zonked out. We don't know if he was using drugs that day. Probably.
Yeah.
You know Jake, but his history. Undertaker, for all the great Mania moments he has had, he's had some really bad matches, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt.
That one with Giant Gonzalez was horrible.
Even his matches with Kane, which arguably... The one at WrestleMania 20 wasn't that bad because it wasn't too long, but the one at WrestleMania 14, that was almost, like, torturous. Like, If there was a place, if hell is an actual place and you go there, your punishment will be watching Undertaker and Kane going over and over for all of eternity. Because it is so boring.
Well, remember the one where they hung the big boss man off the cell?
Oh, that was even... Wow.
we got so many bad moments. But he's also had some great WrestleMania moments, too. Yeah. Against Triple H, the match against Flair at... What was it, 18?
Yeah, that was 18.
It was an amazing...
I love that
match. That was an amazing match. Flair and Triple H, those guys are great. Who else? Who else he had some great matches against?
He had a good one against Orton.
Kevin Nash wasn't that bad, actually.
Yeah, the Kevin Nash one wasn't that bad. And, his one with Orton wasn't that bad either. What's that?
Orton did a good job, yeah. And he also had a match against Snuka. I think we ran through every opponent. We're not counting, what was it, A-Train and who was the other guy? They had the handicap match.
Oh, was A-Train and Big Show teaming up?
Yeah, because they couldn't put Nathan Jones in the match. They didn't trust him to be in the match.
Oh, classic.
He's had some bad moments. He's had some great moments, too. Mm-hmm. And I hope this is a really great moment. I hope this is the moment that chooses to cap off his wonderful career.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I hope he keeps the streak forever.
The only real problem I see with it is, when he wins the title, how is he going to lose it? And I guess this is kind of getting off topic, but, I mean, of course, this has to be something WWE has to take into consideration in deciding if Undertaker's going to win it. I mean, they could have him retire with the belt, which would be good for someone of his stature. I would hope that happens. I don't think it is going to happen. I think it'd be awesome. A friend of mine was telling me the other day, maybe Kane, really get behind Kane, build him up again, maybe have Kane finally beat him.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That wouldn't happen, though. I mean, maybe what I would actually... I wouldn't even mind Shawn Michaels beating him simply because I would love to see Undertaker and Shawn Michaels go at it this year.
Don't you think, after seeing the tag team matches and the Rumble match, that we're going to get Undertaker versus Shawn at some point? Especially now since they're going to crossbreed the pay-per-views and do away with the brand extensions for the pay-per-views?
That's definitely going to happen. As far as the Backlash promos have gone so far, it's Raw and SmackDown and ECW. And one other thing, actually, this is kind of intriguing. I would love to see an Undertaker-Benoit feud, and I think that would do wonders for Benoit if he were maybe to be the one. Maybe they give him a tweener heel push and have him go against Taker, maybe have him beat Taker. I don't know if that'll actually happen, but I think, fantasy-wise,
could be
cool.
I wonder if Batista will win it back. I wonder if they actually do put Batista over to make him a monster heel. Because, if Batista wins at Mania, that's a heel push right there.
Oh, yeah.
He goes as the man who beat him. Well, I just don't think they should waste it on him at all.
No, they shouldn't.
He's not going to be around for a while. He's probably going to get hurt. I hate to say that.
At some point
later on, if he doesn't just outright quit.
Yeah, he has no longevity at all, which is why...
He has no longevity. He's a fun character who the kids like, but he's not John Cena. He's not Bobby Lashley. Lashley's got longevity.
Right.
Provided he doesn't have any injuries related to his medical condition.
Yeah. I know exactly.
No more accelerated liver enzymes.
None of that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm going with Taker on that one.
So am I.
In terms of the actual match, though, I'm kind of concerned. I mean, Undertaker, can carry people, but I don't know if he really is up to the challenge of carrying Batista.
He can carry people, he just never does for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, but maybe because he is going over clean for once, that he will maybe go out of his way to make it a good match against Batista. It really is going to be up to Undertaker, because Batista's just, I think he's just there along for the ride, really.
I think they're probably hopefully going to use a lot of weapons. Mm-hmm. I would think they would have to make it a good match. They can't have the Sid versus Undertaker type match where it's just those two on their own abilities. It just doesn't work with, especially if you have a guy like Sid. When I see Batista, I see Sid all over again.
Uh-huh.
Except much popular.
Yeah.
Much more popular.
Oh, definitely. He definitely has that kind of complex.
Don't get me wrong. As a kid, I loved Sid. But now when you look back, you can analyze the business with the perspective of being an adult. It's like... Yeah, he wasn't that good.
Yeah.
He didn't do that much. The people looked like chairs when Sid was wrestling, so...
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, all he did was stab Arn Anderson with a pair of scissors.
Apparently they glossed over that part in the new Horseman DVD, I heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that
apparently they got the Horseman DVD, and they don't talk about that part much. You know, that was a big part of the Arn Anderson legacy in WCW, the whole incident.
Right, yes.
So we've gone through the Mania card. What else do we need to go through?
Well, we can go through the Hall of Fame if you want, but just one thing I want to touch on real fast.
Sure, let's touch on it.
Undertaker winning, I think, is like an automatic WrestleMania moment, because I think it will outdo him winning in 97, simply because of his age and what he... And it's the 10th anniversary since he's won it.
The pay-per-view was horrible, other than the Bret versus Austin match.
Oh, exactly. Oh, exactly, yeah. And just because of the venue and, you know, of course, the longevity he's had since then, I don't think in 97 you would have guessed Taker being the main event in 10 years. So, you know, it's just it's a big deal. I think it's an instant WrestleMania moment if he wins the title, and I'm really looking forward to that.
I am too.
So, all right. Well, that is all for the card, as you said. And if you'd like to go through the Hall of Fame, we can briefly, because I don't want to go much over what we're doing.
Right. Exactly. So let's go through the Hall of Fame. Do you know the inductees?
Yeah, I'm actually gonna pull those up right now. Give me one. Here we go. Hall of Fame. I'm excited about JR getting inducted personally while I'm waiting for this to load.
I was loving that yesterday. That was just one of those great moments on television where you see just something spontaneous happen.
And it was great to do that in that crowd, too. In front of that crowd.
JR was just starting to cry. That crowd was just loving him. Yeah. And that makes you think to yourself, why on earth would they even want to get rid of this man? Mm-hmm. The man who's the best announcer since Gordon Solie and Lance Russell. You know, Lance Russell's still with us. And that's another Hall of Fame story. But Gordon Solie, Lance Russell, I think those two guys are the best announcers. And then you think of JR as the man who really has taken over that mantle. He is wrestling's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Ross.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
Who are they getting to induct him?
I heard...
Is it Bill Watts? Or...
No. Who did I hear? I even heard Will Shatner being tossed around there.
No, Will Shatner's for Lawler.
Oh, Lawler? Okay. I knew I heard his name somewhere. Yeah, I don't know who they're going to have inducted. That's a very good question. Like, well, we'll find out at midnight on Saturday.
Probably someone Oklahoma-related, I would think.
Yeah, most likely.
Maybe related to his Mid-South days, except we know how much Kevin Dunn loves people who none of the current fans have ever heard of, you know?
Yes, naturally. But we can just run through them real fast.
Sure, let's go through.
Of course, we have, I'll just list them real fast. We have Dusty Rhodes, Jerry Lawler, Mr. Perfect, Nick Bockwinkel, Mr. Fuji, the Wild Samoans, the Original Sheik, Jim Ross, and that's it.
I'm happy the Original Sheik's going in there. Nick Bockwinkel, have you ever watched Nick Bockwinkel wrestle?
I have seen some of his stuff. I have seen his stuff. I don't remember who I saw him against.
He's one of the greatest.
Oh, it's definitely well deserved. I think it's actually overdue, to be honest, for Nick Bockwinkel, considering everything he's done.
Heenan's going to be inducting him, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be your classic WrestleMania Hall of Fame banter right there. Nick Bockwinkel, if you remember, was commissioner in WCW for a little while, back when Hogan first came in.
Yep.
And also the other inductees, Mr. Perfect, I guess instead of Larry the Axe Henning inducting him, they're going to do Wayne Boggs inducting him.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. But,
To get a mainstream crowd.
Yeah, exactly. That's really the only reason they do it. But yeah, I'm really glad they're inducting Mr. Perfect, because he is one person, like, the gimmick really was true, because he really could have a perfect match. I mean, just how fluid of a worker he was, how smooth he was, the way he bumped around and sold moves, like, it was incredible. And I'm really excited. And it's really sad about his untimely passing. But it's definitely a really great move to have him inducted. Dusty Rhodes, of course, definitely well deserved, no doubt there.
And Dustin and Cody are going to induct him.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that's gonna be a fun one, because I love Dusty Rhodes. Him and Lawler are going to be the ones on TV, and I guess Jim Ross and Perfect may be on TV also if they can squeeze him in.
Right.
I don't know if it's gonna be Perfect on. I think maybe Perfect. Originally, the idea was Jim Ross, if they didn't have enough time to fit in the hour, that Jim Ross would go in, you know, on TV. Mm-hmm. However, the idea is that Jerry Lawler and Dusty Rhodes, being the fact that those two are the biggest, if you don't count Bockwinkel, those two are the biggest stars for their respective region.
Dusty
Rhodes is just a fun wrestler to watch.
Yeah.
Wasn't a good worker, but he was a fun wrestler. A terrible booker, but he was a fun wrestler.
Oh, God, I'm getting started on his booking. but, Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, there's also Mr. Fuji.
Fuji has no business being in that Hall of Fame, with all due respect to Mr. Fuji. But he's a nice man, I hear, so.
I mean, it was deserved for him. It's just weird, like, you know, seeing him in the same sense as Dusty Rhodes, Mr. Perfect.
It's not deserved. He never drew any money.
Yeah.
No, you know, that's one of those things where they just put their friends in or whatever, give them a nice little payday.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to knock him, it just wasn't reserved. He was a terrible manager, too. He was such a bad manager that they had to bring in a second manager when he managed Yokozuna.
Very true.
Bring in Jim Cornette, so.
Very
and
true.
And Lawler getting inducted, that's amazing, because, you know, I guess he really didn't want to be inducted, but they're going to induct him anyway. He's missing a baseball game. I'll tell you something about Lawler. He comes off on TV as a joke and the perverted old man and et cetera, et cetera. And we all know the stories of Lawler's sexual picadillos.
Right, right.
That's well documented.
Which doesn't do him any justice.
Lawler drew 10,000 people to the Mid-South Coliseum each week for over 10 years.
Which is amazing.
I'm talking alone. Lawler is legitimately one of the biggest stars in professional wrestling of the 1980s and of the 1970s.
Definitely.
And
definitely
it's a shame none of the fans know that. And he probably does hold the Guinness World Records of holding the most professional wrestling title.
Mm-hmm.
And heavyweight world championships.
What I find, and what I really hope this Hall of Fame does, and his speech does, is really kind of put over how great he was, because unfortunately fans of today just know him as you said, you know, kind of like the horn dog on commentary who makes comments about the women and puppies, and that's like totally not what he was. It just does him injustice to have that character on TV now.
And speaking of injustice, that's an injustice that Lance Russell isn't the one inducting him.
That's true too.
You know, I could understand maybe not a Bill Dundee or another one of those old Memphis mainstays, but Lance Russell should be the one inducting him. At one point, they tried to get Jim Carrey to induct him because of the whole Man on the Moon film.
Right.
And then they had to settle with William Shatner, who did an angle with Lawler back in 95, where Shatner basically humiliated him and put him in a hammer lock. Because, you know, Shatner's whole gimmick was that he was good at Kung Fu, if you ever seen the old Star Trek series, movies. So it's like he humbled Lawler. Even though all the old-time wrestlers were cringing, here's Lawler, a legend, getting beaten up by this guy. But Lawler didn't care. He was about the business.
They told him,
hey, get humbled by Shatner. So there you go. And that's the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Anything you want to say about the Sheik or the Samoans? I mean, you talked about the original Sheik earlier.
Yeah, and I talked about the Samoans, too. The Samoans have produced a whole generation of wrestlers.
Right.
I guess The Rock is surrogate family to the Samoans.
All right, yeah.
Because of Peter Maivias. So, because basically his family, the Maivias, used to be around with the noise all the time, I guess. So,
yeah, definitely.
And you think of Yokozuna, you think of Rikishi, all these guys who are major stars and over personalities in professional wrestling, the head shrinkers, back when Samu and Rikishi were the head shrinkers. All these guys were mainstays of professional wrestling, and I'm glad to see the Samoans getting recognized. There are probably a million other tag teams that should go in before them, but they're the ones going in, and I guess we'll wait for the day when Randy Savage, Bruno Sammartino, and Bob Backlund are inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. So
it'll be interesting.
We can keep dreaming.
But,
all I've got to say.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You pretty much summed everything I wanted to say, too. I mean, that sums up the Hall of Fame ceremony, which will be, of course, occurring this Saturday night. And that actually is going to wrap up our show today, the WrestleMania preview. James and I'd like to thank everyone for listening. James, anything you want to say before we cut it off?
Just God bless and have a great WrestleMania weekend. Hopefully you've got some great friends to watch it with.
Yeah, definitely, man.
And family. So.
Just some things I want to say before I go. Recently, I talked a little bit about this on the show, but I was on the Wrestling Crossfire earlier this week. We did talked about a ton of things, including what James and I talked about tonight. We talked about WrestleMania, the steroid controversy, the WWE going global thing. Talked about a ton of things like that. And if you're interested in that show, go to thewrestlingvoice.com, click on audio, and check that out. Also, pay attention for the Monday after WrestleMania. I'll be appearing on the Wrestling Crossfire again, doing a WrestleMania review, since I'll, of course, be watching it live, as well as the regular host will be, too. So check that out, and I'll also be having another column coming out this week, sadly, about TNA, which, wow, this is really good, James. We didn't talk about TNA at all tonight, which is phenomenal. somehow always creeps into the conversation, so it's always good to get through a show without TNA.
Well, I think we did mention how probably RVD will be going to TNA, but that's it.
That's true.
About the wrestling going global, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. They think
it won't happen. We pretty much decided it won't happen. The host in the Wrestling Crossfire, he actually said Vince will probably end up getting shot if that does happen, going into Japan or Mexico.
There you go.
But so thanks everyone for listening to the very first edition of Tap Out Podcast. Make sure you keep checking back, see if you've got any more shows up. And everyone, enjoy WrestleMania. Thanks again for listening.